Time flies when you're in your head's in the cloud. In Azure, specifically.
And my head is always in the cloud, so.
Bonjour! Hi! Welcome to the summary of episode 44. In this episode, I was with Shannon Keane, and we talked about the Azure storage. Azure storage is everywhere, and it's super important. Shannon explained to us how, while working on a project, she learned the basics from doing a REST API and then how a SDK could really help you. We'll also cover an excellent Learn module to get started and know how to pick the good storage you need for your project. But before we get into the root, let's learn a little bit more about her. How did you start your journey in IT?
Sure, I was also not very typical, right? So my degree was in communication studies in English. So I had been speaking in front of people since high school. So I did competitive debate, competitive speech. Didn't really know what I wanted to be when I grew up. I knew I needed a degree. Sometimes I feel like we are forcing kids to pick degrees a little too early in life. So I picked a degree that was very broad and generic. Well, it took me to Chicago. So I'm from Nebraska originally. And it took me to Chicago and landed me a couple of jobs out here that kind of prepped me for my first technical job, because I had done everything from loan servicing to database marketing to healthcare market research. I literally didn't know what I wanted to do career-wise. And so I came out to Chicago. I was an administrative assistant, but also kind of backup help desk. I got hired on by a real estate investment firm out here in Chicago, and they were small. They didn't really have an IT person. So I had come in and, you know, I guess I'd gotten better with technology over the course of time by way of being a DJ. So way back when, I'm a DJ. So yeah, like I actually have records and I know how to spin records. And
it was very interesting hearing Shannon explaining how she learned and how she got there. So I was curious, since her background is not developer, what make a project exciting for her?
I was just talking about this with my boss, so we'll give a shout out to Jeremiah. Hi, Jeremiah.
Hello.
No, so when I was prior to being a cloud advocate, I was a cloud solution architect, and I worked with a lot of different customers, helping them out. And one of the coolest projects I had a chance to work on was we transitioned a big customer away from a vendor. I won't name it, but it's a patching vendor, OS patching, application patching, updating applications, move them away from their product into Azure Automation using Update Management and then Azure Automation Runbooks. So we helped them transition a very expensive vendor over to Azure 100%. And I think they went from spending like $150,000 a year to like less or a little over $2,000 a year. So we leaned on Azure Update Management. I built a lot of custom PowerShell. That was where I figured out that I shouldn't, do five for each loop, just do one for each loop with five things.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And it was a super cool thing. So I was telling Jeremiah, I'm like, I've been looking for this awesome opportunity to kind of publicize what we did. You know, at the end, they had a bunch of custom PowerShell to be able to group servers. They had custom PowerShell to help them schedule the actual updates. They had an Azure Automation Runbook to roll back patches in the event that it, screwed up a server. And then they had an Azure Automation Runbook for all their Windows servers to patch third-party apps and update the apps. So it was a cool reality, but man, I felt like I had just, very much so, achievement unlocked. And I was like, oh, that's what I'm doing? Oh, I wish there was like a better way of understanding what I'm doing. But whatever, I had an aha moment. I feel like it's time to probably give that story back to a very broad community base, and hopefully somebody finds it interesting.
Okay, so now it's time to jump into the demo. So in this particular one, Shannon will start by showing us the basics, doing REST API call. And then after that, we'll be a better position to appreciate a good SDK. Look.
So, when I was doing all of that work with that customer and we were getting them off of their patching provider, I had found this function. It's the cached access token. So it's a bearer token script, and you have to be logged into Microsoft before it works, right? And this is important when you're authenticating and doing things against the Azure Service Fabric. So you're creating a storage account, you're moving files around, you are, building out Azure Automation Runbooks. This becomes, I joke a lot, this is like the poor man's version. Like technically what you probably should be doing is a service principal, but a lot of times you're just trying to figure out if something works. So when I run this, you'll get the awesome bearer token, and I will now minimize it because, I'll just do this. I'll clear it out. But you'll see that the bearer token hits off of the fact that I'm already logged in, and I'm logged into remote PowerShell. So when I was working with the storage team, they didn't want me to use PowerShell to try and create a storage account at first, right? Because I think that's pretty straightforward, and I'll showcase a script that creates a storage account. They wanted me to try and interact with the REST API directly. Well, it turns out you can do it, but it's not a super straightforward reality. And it took me a little bit here to kind of get this working. So I just ran the bearer token as the variable. Mm-hmm. And then we have to prepare our header, which needs that bearer token. Mm-hmm. And then it needs to be the content type of application WAC JSON. Then you have to formulate the body, right? And so here I'm calling out the SKU. And then, you specify the kind. And we talked about this in the last stream. So there's a handful of kinds here, and I call them out in the script up here, right? We can tie it to East US. And then, you plug in your tags. You're converting all this to JSON. And then this is the actual REST API call itself, right? So if you look at it, I was just shocked at the level of code. And maybe what I do here is I go over here to the create storage account just as a reference, right? It's much smaller. I'm like, oh, I get it. This is why you want to lean on an SDK, or this is why you want to lean on PowerShell or the AZ CLI or an ARM template, right? The idea here is, it's clear, more succinct. It's not squirrely. You don't have to lean on a bearer token.
We then have fun with the audience playing, and we were showing how you could use a SAS token to give temporary access to different user. And we did a lot of tests with that.
So we'll change the public access level to public access for containers and blobs. And then I'll upload a quick picture. So I'll pick one of my cat pictures. I'll do the human I request assistance. We'll upload it. Takes a second here. And once it's there, you can right click on the object and grab the URL. So Frank, I'm going to pass this URL to you because it'll be publicly accessible, right? So if I go inside here and I paste,
I'm assuming you wanted me to put it in the chat, right?
Because yes, that's correct, what I did. Correct. Yep. Correct. Yep. So human, I request your assistant. No. Yeah. No. And I think we were trying to think of like fun, unique things to do with the audience too. So again, this is a publicly accessible storage account. It's the blob container itself.
So let me know if you can see that image, chat.
Yeah, and it'll just be this one right here. The human, I request your assistance.
Yeah, I can see it on my side.
Okay. Perfect.
It was working. We had responses in the chat that it was working. And then now it's locked, so I'm assuming it will only work with that new URL.
With the SAS token. Yep. Yeah. So grab the full URI. So everything question mark on, that's the SAS token itself.
Yep.
Essentially that declares the permission, that declares how long it's valid. So if you access that 4 hours from now, you won't see that file anymore.
If you are interested to see the full demo, it will be available at the link display in the screen. But now let's learn more. How can you pick the good storage for your project? In this next section, Shannon and I are talking about the Learn module that teaches you exactly that.
Right, and it talks about the fact that I think this is the hardest thing for most companies, right? Figuring out what they have and why they have it and where it lives. I think what tends to happen, especially in the on-premises world, your data just sprawls, especially if there's unstructured data. And so what this talks about is, building out what that's going to look like, building out classification models, building out how the data is going to be used, because you kind of need like a data governance strategy if you're going to move into Azure, because weird things like Cosmos DB, that's always the one I can think of, you get storage as part of it, and you can always hook things into that, and you can think about like Azure Search and pull that data out of there. So you kind of need to know where that data lives, right? Because yeah, you can back up your Cosmos DB, but what if somebody pulled all that data out into Azure Search? Do you have something that sort of guides what users of that solution can do?
Yeah.
So this really you know, encourages folks to kind of realize you probably need some sort of structure in terms of, you know, figuring out where everything lives, figuring out if it's structured, semi-structured, or unstructured. So structured is just, you know, SQL, right? Relational database. Semi-structured would be something like Cosmos DB, maybe a JSON-esque type table structure. Unstructured would just be like photos, like my cat picture would be an unstructured data type. So that's kind of where this intro starts.
Yeah.
So, you know, this kind of comes down here and gives you some scenarios, right? It walks you through product catalog data, walks you through photos and videos.
And I really like that approach because I think in real life situation, thinking, sometimes it's part of your optimization process because picking the good storage type for your project, would it be we're building it? Or would it be, I want to optimize, it's already there, and right. Like now you are to break it down and stuff. Having the good storage is one of the key to really have a, like it's a low-hanging fruit, right? I'm in optimization or cost optimization will help a lot. And I like that approach where they say, oh, like if you have this type of data, or like if you're thinking about doing this type of query on your data, you should, you know, go this type of data, structure, classification, data classification.
Right. And I think matching it to examples also helps, right? So I think, you know, folks have been around in this technical world, regardless of you're in IT yet or you've been in IT for a while. I think we've all seen something like product catalog data. We've all seen something like photos and videos, business data, right? So I think we've been exposed to this one way or another in our myriad of different experiences in this life that we live. So I think, you know, having it be that guide really solidifies the learning objectives for this specific unit. I think that's what they're calling these little mini sections of the module.
If you like this video, give it a thumbs up and leave a comment. Tell us what you would like to see next, or how can we make those summary more efficient for you. If you want to see the full version of the interview, the demo, or the learn module, don't forget all the links are in the description. I'm Frank Boucher, and I see you in the next one.